The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that, and appreciate the fine music that we have here at Parkside Baptist Church. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. There's a reason why I'm putting the presentation tonight about the vision for 2015 at the very end, because I think tonight what I want to do for us in our hearts is to be able to value that which is the local church. I believe the local church, listen to this statement, I believe the local church is it. Is it. I don't think you ought to be a part of any other type of social programs that take the place of the local church. I don't think you ought to be a part of a sports program that plays on Sunday that takes you away from the local church. I don't believe that if you're a business executive and your business meets on Sunday, I don't think you ought to attend it. I think you ought to be in church. And I believe tonight we're going to see exactly what the Lord Jesus teaches about the local church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God." Now let me help you to understand the church for just a little bit. The church is those that are born again, baptized believers, called the assembly, that is coming together with the intent of getting out the gospel. Now, I want to help you a little bit. Somebody says, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to watch a program, a church meeting on television. You are not attending. You're not in the assembly of the local church. Somebody says, well, I'm going to go start a ministry and I'm just going to start a ministry on my own. And I'm going to just have that ministry. Unless that ministry is under the local church, it has no authority or business in operation. All ministries, according to the Word of God, has always been started that God has blessed, sanctioned, underneath that which is the local church. When we started IWWE many years ago, I met with my pastor, and before I ever started IWWE, we went under the local church with his guidance as we started that, and it still remains now today under the local church. You say, well, there's good things that happen. Yes, there's people that don't get drunk, and that's a good thing, but that doesn't mean that that is the only thing they're not supposed to do. There are people that start different types of ministries, and does God bless them? Yes, but would it not be better to do it the way God has orchestrated it to be done? So the Bible says here, it says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock," it says, "over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." A little girl was attending a pretty good-sized church, and she was sitting beside her mom. This is the first time she'd ever been in such a large church, and she'd been in this large church with her mom for the very first Sunday, and she was sitting beside her mom, and she was so excited. Man, she was excited when she heard the songs being sung. She was excited as the pastor got up and he opened in prayer. She was excited sitting on the edge of her seat as the pastor began to preach from the Word of God, and then it came time for the pastor to close in prayer. He bowed his head and he began to pray, and he said, "Lord, I thank thee for your presence." That little girl got really excited, started pulling on her mama's side of the dress and said, "Mom, we're going to get presents?" Now, can I tell you that when you come to church, it's like receiving presents. The Bible says over in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 17 that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh, it says, talking about from our heavenly Father. He gives us gifts from above. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says that he gives us all things, it says, richly to enjoy. So God is the one that gives us things to enjoy. He lovingly and graciously and kindly has given us one of the greatest gifts that we ever could have, and that is the ministry of the local church. Now, I can be honest with you tonight. I love the local church. I love everything about the local church. I love to be able to take, as I did today, as I've often done, a young couple, and they've just now started coming to the church, and I was over their house yesterday, and we were sitting around the table doing a Bible study, and I go over several young couples' houses on Saturday to sit down and to help them as they're new believers, and they're trying to be able to please the Lord, and I enjoy doing that on Saturday afternoons as I teach the Bible to people. And I was with this young couple yesterday, and I said, have you ever seen the facilities that we meet in? Oh, they said, no. Only thing we know is the auditorium. Matter of fact, the only thing we know is the auditorium and the seats that we sit in. I said, okay, how about if we do this? How about tomorrow when you come to church, I take you on a tour? Is that okay? So they met me after church out here in the lobby, and I said, let's go on the tour. And so we toured down the hallway this way, and I told them what the offices was, and I gave them a little history about, when this office changed and what it is now, and about the bathrooms when we remodeled it. We made it through the lobby, and we went down by the bookstore, and I introduced them to the bookstore and how it could help them in their spiritual growth. And we went down the hallway, and I told them how the hallways had been remodeled and when we did this and when we did that. We turned the corner, and I explained to them that, when we first came, of course, the office was a little bit different. We built on the wall there, and we added that wall and extended the offices so that we could get more done, and how we divided the academy office now, and you have a secretary in there, and we went down the hallway and explained. I even told them where the copy machine was, and went down the hallway, and I was telling them about each Sunday school class, and we went over by the Heritage Cafe, and we walked out, went over to the Spanish and the college building, and told them about all the rooms that was over there, and we heard Brother Hector teaching a little bit and got excited about that. Walked down the hallway, showed him the computer lab, came back, showed him, of course, upstairs where the game room is for the college and the activity center, and came down, showed him, of course, in the room where the mailboxes are and the college students receive their mail, came out, took him over to the gym, explained about all the Sunday school classes, and they got to see some of the workers in the gym and workers coming up, and I appreciate this very much, shaking hands with them and saying, wow, are you new here? Are you getting the tour? And they said, yes, we're new here, and we're getting the tour. And I took them around, and I showed them everything. And I was excited. I was excited about showing them the closets. I was excited about telling them about the carpet. I was excited about walking over in the frigid air in between the auditorium area and the different buildings that we have. And we walked down. We told them about everything. And can I tell you, I was excited. I'm excited about the church buildings. I'm excited about the architectural type of design. I'm excited about the bulletins. I'm excited about the curriculum. I'm excited about the instruments and the orchestra that we now have. I'm excited about the buses that we now roll off of the parking lot to be able to reach boys and girls and teenagers and men and women for Christ. I'm excited about the potlucks sometimes that we have after church and the fellowships over in the gym, especially when you do the cooking. I'm excited about the upcoming missions conference and introducing missionaries to you and having a missions conference annually. I'm excited about new church families moving here and new church families joining the church and new believers that we're helping to grow in Christ. Man, there's nothing like the church. Man, I'm excited for every person that has an opportunity to be able to come to church and be able to hear what God has for them. God's entity, if you will, please, through which he gives us a charge and through which he is able to give us the Word of God is that which is the local New Testament Baptist Church. It's a place where you can come and hear about what God wants to do in your life. It's a place where you can come and get connected with that which is the Word of God. It's a place, a church that's a Bible-believing Baptist church is built upon that which is the principles of the Word of God, and we're in it for eternity's sake. And God looks at it as the highest value. God looks at it as a place where we can hear the songs of Zion. And by the way, somebody says, well, I'll just kind of meet in my home. Well, first off, you don't have the ability to do that and call yourself a local church. Where are you going to baptize? How are you going to send missionaries out? How many people are you going to have over for fellowship? you know, what are you going to do to be able to operate your own soul winning program and send buses out to bring the lost in to hear the gospel? I'm saying, man, I hold it in high value, the songs, the preaching, the fellowship, the ministries, as the ministries unfold, to be able to understand the very heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you some things to think about. The local church is it's what motivates Jesus Christ. The local church motivates Jesus Christ. You realize that Christ died to purchase the church, his bride? Do you realize over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved, it says, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it? He sacrificed and he shed his blood for the church. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, the Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it. It says with the washing of the water by the word. And so the word of God is what cleanses us. Hey, thank God for old-fashioned preaching. Thank God we can come together. Somebody says, well, I don't need preaching. I can figure it all out by myself. Well, first off, how you doing? Second off, now that we found out you're not doing so hot, get back to the institution, get back to the place where God has established, because he's anointed his preaching through that which is the local church. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 27, the Bible says that he might present, it says, to himself a glorious church. Church. Didn't say a glorious family on their own, individualized unit. He said church. He says that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, it says, and without blemish. Can I tell you that God has a passion for his bride? God has a passion for the church. God is attracted to the church. God has redeemed the church. We're supposed to be that which represents him well as the bride of Christ. We're supposed to be the one that's serving him, the one that's reaching the world, the one that is coming together to edify each other in the things of God. You think about this, the local church is supposed to teach. You say, well, I tell you what, preacher, some churches are not doing well. Well, why is it that they're not doing well? Might it be that they're not soul winning churches? Might it be that they're not gospel preaching churches? Might it be that they're not preaching the infallible riches of the Word of God that is pure to the ever sense of the doctrines that's been given to us down through the ages by the Word of God through our Heavenly Father? Can I say, look, do you realize that there's been all sorts of people that try to remake that which is the bride of Christ? They try and remake, if you would please, even that which is the local church, they try and remake it. They try to say, well, you know, we need to reinvent it. We need to re-engineer it, because after all, Christ did not know what he was doing when he gave us the local church. Can I tell you, Christ has never, is not, and will never fail. And he knew exactly what he was doing when he gave us the local church. It works. It's not a mistake. It's not some statistic. It's not some strategy. It's not something that you tear apart and try and study to figure out how it can be done better. No, Christ knows exactly the way it ought to be. It's not according to his intellect. It's not according to our intellect or our intelligence. It works. It's not because there's a masterful marketing plan. No, it just works. Why? Because God ordained it, and it's the power of God and the grace of God that sustains it. I tell you that God is for the biblical Baptist local church. By the way, the local church is in no more danger of perishing than the promises of God. It's you say we're living in a lukewarm society. I know that. We're living in a society of compromise and a conspiracy, if you would please, is everywhere. I know that. We're living in places, if you will, where people so call themselves a local church, but yet they don't uphold the truths of the doctrines of God. I know that. But that doesn't stop me from believing in what is right. That doesn't stop me from backing off and understanding the true value of that which is the local church, that's the pillar and the ground of truth. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus owns the local church. A pastor doesn't own the local church. The assistant pastors do not own the local church. The deacons do not own the local church. You as a member, you say, well, I give my tithe here. Well, God bless you. That means you're right with God. But that doesn't mean you own the local church. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says, take heed thereto. Therefore it says, unto yourselves and to all the flock. I read it a moment ago. It says, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers and feed the church of God, which he hath purchased. He owns the local church. He owns the church. With he hath purchased with his own blood. Oh, listen to it. I'm saying tonight we need to know this, that Jesus owns the church. We need to know this, that Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 20, the Bible says, and he built upon the foundations of the apostles, and it says, the prophets, it says, Jesus Christ himself being, it says, the chief cornerstone. He's the cornerstone of the church. The Bible talks about how Jesus will protect his church. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, by the way, meaning little pebble. It says, upon this rock, I believe as he emphatically, dogmatically points back to himself. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, it says, shall not prevail against it. Now that doesn't mean the gates of hell. You've never seen gates attack anything. So the gates of hell is not attacking the church. But it is the church, rather, that is attacking the gates of hell. How do we do that? We do that through gospel tracts. How do we do that? We do that through gospel preaching. How do we do that? We do that through soul winning. Every time you come out soul winning on a Saturday or on a Thursday or one of the other three times that we offer soul winning as a collective unit to go out soul winning from our church, every time you do that, the gates of hell shake. And they shall not prevail against that which is a forward motion of the local church. I'm saying that the church is that which motivates our Lord. Statement number two, the local church should be our priority. If it was the priority of the Lord Jesus Christ, if the church was worthy, listen to me now, if the church was worthy, listen to me, if the church was worthy of Jesus Christ shedding his blood for the church, then it ought to be worthy enough for you to commit to be faithful to it. What's your high priority? What is it tonight that motivates you? It should be the gospel being propelled. You slap God in the face every time you stay home and you pretend to be sick. Stop it. You ought to be more faithful to church than you are at work. You ought to be more faithful to church than you are to a ball game. You ought to be more faithful to church than you are to some other type of religious or non-religious organization. Why? Because Jesus died and shed his blood for the church. The local church should be our priority. What's your highest priority of the week? Should be the local church. The highest priority you will have in your life is a place where the eternal salvation of God is propelled throughout the world. And that place being ordained is only the local church. Recently came across a very humorous type of comparison, comparing church to that which is a sporting event. Listen to it and you'll see where it goes. 13 reasons why I do not attend a sporting event, somebody said. Every time I go there, they always ask for money. The people sitting in my row don't even seem to be very friendly. The seats were very hard. The coach never came to visit me. The referees made decisions that I didn't agree with. I was sitting with a bunch of hypocrites. They only came to see what others were wearing. Some games went overtime, and I was late getting home. The marching band played songs that I never heard before. The games are scheduled on my day off, and I deserve to sleep and run my personal errands. My parents told me too many times that you're going to the game whether you like it or not. Since I read a book on sports, I feel as though I know more than those that are actually the coaches. I don't want to take my children because, after all, they need to choose whether they attend or not. I can play sports anywhere. I don't need to play it in the stadium. Now, the same lame brain reasons that you heard that this person gave in not attending a sporting event is the same lame brain reasons that people give for not being faithful to the local church. Do they sound familiar? The local church motivated Jesus. The local church should be our priority. The local church is still God's way of working. I'm always amazed. We have two big days every year where we sacrifice. We pull out the stops. One of those is 4 weeks long, and we end it with a huge big day of trying to reach the lost as many as we possibly can to get them under the sound of the gospel. Another one is not as intense, but still involves a lot of sacrificial giving and work. And I'm always amazed to see what God does and how the Holy Spirit uses these special days to be able to propel the gospel in such a way that people get saved and their lives are changed. It's not about strategy. It's not about the studies. It's about simply doing the work of God through that which is the ordained, if I may say so, collective body of that which is the local church. The local church motivated Jesus. The local church should be our priority. The local church is still the way that God is working. The local church, statement number 4, is the pillar and the ground, stay with me now, of truth. Of truth. Whenever an individual thinks that they don't need church because they know more than what is being presented to them at church, can I tell you, they are destined to ruin. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15, the Bible says, and if I tarry long, the Bible says that thou mayest know how that thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church. Church. He called church the house of God. He didn't call your house the house of God. He didn't call your trailer the house of God. He didn't call your apartment the house of God. He didn't call your little gathering somewhere, sitting someplace at some coffee shop, the house of God. No, he said that thou knowest how to behave thyself, it says, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. You think about those words tonight, the pillar and the ground. By the way, it would pay us to know our Bibles tonight. Well, I like to go sit under this man because, after all, he has taught me so many wonderful things. Yeah, he taught you wonderful things out of the epistles that were written to the church. Now, don't get me wrong, but if he was doing it outside of the authority of the local church, it's almost like he stole in order to give. Now, don't throw darts at me yet. Because the will of God is that we learn things in the directive way that God gives us. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean I was raised Catholic. Did you know we were forbidden to have a Bible in the house? Here's what we were told. That only the priest could get proper interpretation. Only the priest. Now, may I say, that's heresy. You have a Bible. I believe in the priesthood of the believer. Amen. You have a Bible, and you have a requirement by God to study the Word of God, to meditate the Word of God day and night. But don't get ever so lopsided in your thinking that that takes the place of that which is the local church. You are supposed to study your Bible. You're supposed to know your Bible. You're supposed to walk with God. That is your individual responsibility. But beloved, I present to you tonight that it's also your individual responsibility to be faithful to the local New Testament Baptist church. Why is it that you don't want to be faithful to something that God's Son gave His life for? A person may become a patriarch that never was, or should I say, have that which is patriotism that never did, simply because their son gave their life in the war. How much more should you become that which is a patriot of truth to that which is the local church, because Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, gave His life? President James Polk spent his last day as the president of the United States on March, listen to the story, on March the 3rd, 1849. At midnight, President Polk stepped down. The office was vacant. The man that was going to be his successor was General Zachary Taylor. General Zachary Taylor was an ardent churchgoer. He was a very strong churchgoer. Even people called him staunch in his church attendance. He never missed. They were supposed to swear him in on March the 4th, 1849, and he said, "I refuse," because that's Sunday. You may have a service to swear the next president in, but I won't be there. He said, "I will be in church." He thought that church was more important than the presidency of the United States. So they had to put off him being sworn in. And it was United States Senator David Acheson that was sworn in for one day. He was, of course, that which was the representative as a senator in the United States of Missouri. And he was sworn in for one day as the president of the United States, because that which was the elected president said, "I'm not coming, I'm going to church." So they had to move it back for him to be sworn in on Monday, March the 5th of 1849, because he decided that church was more important than to be sworn in as president. Now, can I tell you, it ought to be that important to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, the Bible says, "And let us consider one another to provoke," it says, "unto love and to good works." Now, where do we do that? The Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and as the matter of some is, and exhorting, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So what are we supposed to do? We're not supposed to forsake it. Not even a little bit. Not even for any reason. Oh, but the wife says, "Oh, honey, I don't feel like going today." Now, I love you in the name of the Lord, but get over it. Get over it. Jesus shed His blood and paid for you to be able to go to heaven for that which is the church. Get over it. I think that unless you're putting other people's lives in jeopardy, that you ought to come to church more faithful than you go to work, more faithful than you get up in the morning, more faithful than you eat your noon meal, more faithful than you eat your supper, more faithful than you pay attention to a friend, because Jesus gave Himself for the church. The church motivated Jesus. Statement number two, the local church should be our priority. Statement number three, the local church is still God's way of working. Statement number four, the local church is the pillar and the ground of that which is truth. Let me give you one more statement. Let's be motivated to do our part with the local church. Stop being a lone ranger. "Well, I don't need to go with the local church soul winning, because after all, I can do it on my own." You know, everybody that has always said that to me, when I ask them, "How many people did you lead to Christ last week?" "Well, okay, Grace. I believe in grace. How many people did you lead to Christ the week before? Well, okay, let's back that off. Let's forget the leading people to Christ. Let's give you a lot of grace, okay? How many people did you talk to? Well, oh, okay, all right. Let's bring it way down to where you're living. How many gospel tracts did you pass out? That's what I'm supposed to say, Brother Weslowski. Well, you know what I found out? Somebody that doesn't want to be accountable is somebody normally that is unaccountable. Somebody that promotes themselves as being, well, I know better, is destined for a fall. That's called pride. Why are you trying to reinvent the local church? Why are you trying to do that? Don't do that. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I'd go on that soul winning stuff if I knew how. Look, you don't have to know how. You just need to be obedient. It's not a matter of knowing how. It's a matter of, do you want to obey or do you not want to obey? Well, you know, I don't want to come to church because after all, there's hypocrites in church. That don't stop you from shopping Walmart. There's hypocrites at Walmart. You know, for every lame brain, and I say it emphatically and emphasizing it again, for every lame brain excuse we give for not being faithful to the local church shows how ignorant we are of the truth. May I give it to you tonight? Think about this, and I'm done. Last statement, here it is. Okay, let's get motivated to do our part with the local church. You say, well, our church is not perfect. Good. Glad you're here. Help it. Help it. Well, our church, you know, it just needs something that it's lacking. I'm glad you see it. Instead of criticizing it, help it. Well, so-and-so, you know, they're just not up to par to where I am. Well, I'm glad you're there. And I'm glad you're such a good Christian that you see they're not there. And since you're full of the love of God, help them to get there. Look, I'm saying this tonight. The local church, it deserves our attention. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, the Bible says, for where your treasure is. Oh, you know how I can tell somebody's getting ready to leave the church? Because they're talking about other things in a greater capacity than they're talking about their church. I can always tell they're on the way out. You know, you can tell what believers, new believers, are on their way in. You know why? Excitability. Can't wait to be there. Can't wait for the services. Can't wait to see what God is doing. Okay? Why is that true? Well, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, says, for where your treasure is, that's present tense, there will, that's future tense, your heart be also. Can I tell you, if you invest a lot of time in fishing, eventually that's all you're going to want to do. Let me help you. If you invest a lot of time habitually, forming it into a habit of missing church, then eventually that's where you're going to be. Can I tell you, there's nothing more important in your life than being faithful to the local church. It deserves your time. It deserves your finances. It deserves your energy. It deserves your prayer. It deserves your attention. God believes in the local church. And can I tell you, the local church is it.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.